The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts sooner or later, as Matt Carney sings. Right now, all right, Tausch, so we can get back somewhat on the clock. I just had Zaz, who I think his name is Zach, judging from his Twitter handle, send us this. And again, I don't know what QBR is anymore. I thought ESPN invented that. Didn't they? I think they did, right? Their analytics folks there.
I don't take a ton of stock in that.
And Fox NFL is sharing this graphic, which Zaz in turn shared with you and me and Jesse, but sorry, no Hunter, doesn't know your handle.
Aw.
NFL's leaders in QBR rating. Remember, this is on a scale of 1 to 100, kind of like your positivity score.
I thought it was
151.3 except for on
Tausch's. Or whatever it is. 153.3.
Number one, Lamar Jackson, 77.5. Number two, Josh Allen, 77.2. Number three, Joe Burrow, 75.0. Number four, Jaden Daniels, 70.6. And number five, Jordan Love, 69.2. So do I believe the QBR or do I believe my lion eyes when I say that he didn't progress as much as I expected him to or thought he would?
I think numbers can always be, you know, capitulated to fit a narrative if you want. You can find numbers, and sometimes the numbers just stink and you can't find anything. And that obviously isn't the case with Jordan because there's plenty of good numbers to go along with it. But the big thing from my perspective is, has he put together a really good chunk of great football? No. He has been consistent. I think what I love about this season from his perspective, he's had a fight through adversity. He's had a play less than 100%. He's had a lead his football team. And what I really like is he struggled turning the football over in the beginning of this season.
He did.
He had a big chunk where it was turnover, pick, fumble, all the stuff. And he righted that ship. He has seen, with Aaron Rodgers being there before, the importance of being able to protect the football. And he's righted that ship for the most part in the back half of this season. Those things I'm very impressed with. As far as accurately throwing the football and being able to do things, I think one of the things that he was so good at last year was making plays with his feet, running the football. And I haven't prize picked him rushing. How many big chunks has he made running the football? And part of that could be, my knee's bad. I had a groin. And that adds another layer to some of these open throws and some other things. I'm not sure how much people fear Jordan getting out of the pocket and running. So there's a compilation of a ton of things. I am not discouraged by where Jordan Love is. I think I maybe jumped the gun a little bit last year, being excited about what we saw at the end. He was that good, probably unfairly. Hey, welcome to being the QB at a G&G where we've seen Hall of Fame play for 30 years. This is what you get. Mm-hmm. You know what you're signing up for. You're getting paid $55 million. Doesn't mean it's fair, but as we talked about with the young Wildies and with Noah Eagle, life ain't always fair. You take advantage of the opportunities you're given. Jordan has done that, and I expect him to continue to grow. Would I have loved to have seen better, more consistent play throughout this season? Absolutely. But there's underlying circumstances that play a part in that, and I think Jordan's had to weather and learn. He's going to come out of this season, whenever that is, because I think he is going to learn a lot from how he had to handle and deal with some of the adversities he had this year.
Brian kept saying he's going to be just fine. Did anything that played out this year give you pause in thinking he's going to be great?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking about as well.
I think when I look at it, and I know that was your attempt at teasing, which I love, by the way, I will come back, and what I think the question is, he has shown consistently that he can be really good. He's had spurts of being blanking awesome. What are we going to see more of moving into the future? What do we want to see more of? Like, there's a give and a take. A lot of people, myself included, didn't like all those picks. We love that whip and throw, and I saw the stat. Hardest thrown football ever with the Houston Texans dude reaching, and it just missed his fingers because he threw the bullet in there.
61 miles an hour.
Some would say a wow throw. We love that, but then we don't love it when it gets tipped up and it gets pick sixed. Those are the give and takes. What do we want? And it really is the Favre Rodgers shoulder. And that's really what this
is. It
is.
So answer that question after you tell us about Coors Light.
Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Make sure that those mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
He's going to be just fine. Is he going to be great? We'll talk a little more about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You can't hide your lying eyes, and your smile is in disguise. A thought by now you'd realize there ain't no
what a DJ that Hunter Vaughn is. We need to get ready for Uncle Homer, but Tausch. Just going to be fine? He's going to be just fine? Or he's going to be great? We are not holding either of us to this prediction. It's just where things stand now. Because I do think there was a lot of crowning going on last year after the way he played in the second half. I give Dan Orlovsky a hard time, but he was leading the band. And I saw him on television the other day not sounding quite as bullish on the Packers quarterback as he had been previously. So what say you?
I still think he can be great. He has all of the characteristics that you're looking for. Arm talent. I think he works his tail off. I think he's got everything you need. The question that I still have, and I think that you can be very, I guess, independently critical of, is it's always going to come down to accuracy with Jordan. And when he is humming and really in a great rhythm, he's as good as there is. But there are spells where he misses throws or he is not as accurate as you'd like to see. And we've seen a little bit of that. And again, there's a lot of reasons for that. He was not as accurate this year as he was at the back half of last year. And I think part of that is, you know, potentially injury related. I think part of it, too, is you haven't had those easy gimme throws as early in games as you've seen in the past. And if that you want to delve into the play action pass and Josh Jacobs and all that, that is
right,
all
like
fair game to look at.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, can be another thing that I'm sure when the Packers season ends, they're going to take a long, hard look and try to figure out how do we balance the play action and getting Jordan out in space moving. And when he's healthy enough, maybe part of it is he's not as healthy as he'd want to be able to do all that. I don't know all those answers. All I know is he's had a ton of success on bootlegs and on movement and moving in the pocket. It's not as easy as just putting it in his chest, faking it, and then trying to make throws. That is the most difficult part about being quarterback in this league. It's easier when you get out in space and you get into a rhythm. And I don't think we've gotten into a rhythm soon enough in some of these critical football games. And if that happens Sunday, I'd put that percentage down in the 10%. If you don't find a way to get into a rhythm early in that game, I think Philly could make it ugly.
Well, if they beat the Eagles and you need a little extra money to then head to Detroit for the divisional round, Fortrea's got you covered.
They do. A bunch of studies. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com, and we got one for healthy men. Ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study involves one stay, 16 nights, and a follow-up. Compensation is $8,075. Plus, you refer a friend, you get another $200 per qualified referral. I also have one. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60. Women can be of childbearing potential. Body mass index of 18.5 to 30. Study is one stay, 11 nights, two follow-ups, and $7,104 in your pocket. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Uncle Homer is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. You're making love or starting the schoolyard fight. Make sure you do it right.
You know what that music means. He is the voice of Marquette men's basketball, which I'm sure Hunter listens to every word he utters because he loves the Golden Eagles and their win last night over Georgetown. You also hear him on the Homer Hour. It's 60 minutes, best 60 minutes of your day. Trying to get that cut down to 30, but we'll see what happens. Every weekday on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Beaver Dam. And, of course, on God Talk with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm awesome because John Anderson last night said, it's nice to hear Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs. Meaning he must have experienced them at some point in his life, and I can't wait to ask him about that next week.
Wow. I didn't know anybody knew them other than you.
Well, he went to, I mean, Duke Tomato was famous for kind of southern Midwest and went down and down probably St. Louis. So I'm not surprised. But I look forward to what he says when he finds out that Duke wrote a song for me. So anyway,
he'll be very impressed. Speaking of Marquette, Hunter is a big Marquette fan. Are we still following this rule that you came up with that we don't talk about Marquette when you're on, or can Hunter ask you a question about his
they
Golden Eagles? What are we doing here?
They are the sixth ranked team in the country.
Uh-huh.
And Chase Ross has a new nickname, the Rocket, because Tony Smith has complained that at times he just needs to launch to the basket and stuff it on anybody. And if you're going to launch, then you got to be the Rocket. So
you didn't answer the question.
I just gave you all you need to know about Marquette.
He kind of answered it by answering it. That means yes.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what he just
No, he just literally said, I told you everything you need to know about Marquette, which would indicate he's not open to questions from Hunter. All right.
No, we're done. Yeah.
Yeah, see?
No, we're not going to. No more. Go.
I don't.
Packers. Has Tausch changed his mind from not doing 100 but doing 1 to 10? Like, I'm trying to figure out.
I like 1 to 10 better. It's just it's more crystal clear.
Fine, but if you're – then all you have to do is pick a 1 to 10, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. You got mad at somebody yesterday, who was it, about gifts, and saying you're just making things more difficult, when in fact you are doing exactly that. Fine, do 100. Every one of Tausch will be 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Do you have any explanation other than just wanting to be difficult?
Just wait a second. Somebody that has told me for years not to tell you how to think is now telling me how I should think. Just so we're on the same page.
No, I'm asking you. I didn't say this is why Tausch did it. No, I'm asking you to do that. You can say yes or no. I didn't say.
I said no.
In fact, I said I'm trying to figure out why he would do that unless he wants to be difficult. I gave you an opening to, in fact, explain why, because I would never assume I know, but I can make a suggestion. Why did you do this?
I just, if you would listen, I just told you it makes it simpler.
Listen.
That's why.
Okay,
that's
and
why.
I thought I it's explained how it makes it nothing simpler, and you can, in fact,
really
keep
does. It does
happy.
Make it simpler. Okay, listen.
Okay,
whoa. I'm not going to get caught up in
this.
This is way better than Marquette talk. You're right.
You gave
Homer,
me answer,
where are you at?
On.
Can Green Bay go 1-10? 10 being, yes, they're going into Philly and whooping them. Where are you at on the 1-10 scale?
I have to pick 5 because I'm at 48. But if I have to go 4 or 5, 48 is closer to 5.
If you go 4.8, it'd be, that would be, you know, 4.8 out of 10 would be better.
That
would.
That is so good. That is so good.
So it's less than a coin toss.
So 1-10, but you could do the point. Yes, I will go, in honor of Tausch, 4.8.
Okay. See, I'm not telling you how to think.
I am just letting
you
go.
You literally told him to go with the point thing just now.
The 1-10. But because he said 48, 4.8.
Jason, move on.
Why is it?
Move on. I believe Cooper is the key to the game and must be the difference. If you know, 2 games ago, the Packers had 8 tackles for loss and he had 4. They need to have 4 tackles for loss to win the game. He's the key. They have the ability to limit the run solely because of his presence. And he's young, so there's no way I can guarantee. If he was older, I would be at 51%. 5.1. But he's young, and like the last game, he had a pure shot at Williams. They win the game if Cooper makes that play. I don't know how he missed Williams. Nobody blocked him. Can you explain that?
I can't.
Yeah.
And other than to say he's young and he still makes mistakes, which is why they are trying so hard to find the sweet spot between having him on the field the maximum amount of times so he can make those splash plays while not having him out there where he gets exposed and makes a game-turning mistake. He's grown a lot, but you could tell by the way the coaches talk about him that they still have some reservations about the mistakes that he tends to make. Speaking of mistakes, we just asked Brian Bulaga this, and Tausch and I were talking about it. Do you think Jordan Love has regressed or just not progressed as much as you expected him to?
I think he's the same. He had that incredible streak. He's not that good, but... So we haven't – that streak will go down maybe. And Rodgers had some of them too, but he's not as good as that streak. That was a hot streak, and he's been the same. The reason it's hard for me to focus on Jordan Love is I don't get this, and I will defer to both of you. When you have an improved running game, by definition, that's supposed to make your passing game easier. That's the way it's been for 100 years in the NFL. And now we have this situation, and I haven't yet, and I'm hoping you hear the answer to explain it. They're running the ball better, and it made the passing game worse. That would appear to be the case. Everybody agrees with that premise, or is the premise wrong? Because the premise is correct, then somebody's got to explain that to me. I've never experienced that in my life. Generally, you want to have your running game better because your quarterback isn't as good. I have stated for years that you run the ball so you can pass better. Passing is by far the most important. The only reason you run is to help the passing game, not the other way around. But now teams are running it a little bit more because of the defenses. But is my premise correct? We all agree that the passing game is worse and the running game is better, right?
Definitely the last couple of weeks. I can't
argue
that.
All right. How can that be?
So we just talked with Bulaga.
I did.
And I think we summed this up this way. I think obviously you have some injuries. You don't have Romeo Dobbs. Watson's been unavailable. That changes some of the passing game. But the play-action pass is not the weapon that it was. And it should be. I agree with you. But... the system and what Matt LaFleur has kind of gotten his teeth set on was that stretch zone and the bootlegs and everything else. And now with Josh Jacobs, there's more double teams, more shotgun pistol, where you let him read, make his one cut, and get vertical. It's not as easy to play action pass out of the shotgun as it is under center. It feels like that's what Matt LaFleur, Josh Jacobs, Steno, the offense feels like is their best thing. That's what they do well, running it. And they've not abandoned, but have yet to figure out how to mesh that part with that running game, and it doesn't marry up. And that's why I think they're struggling in that pass game, because the play-action pass, unless somebody can tell me stats different, especially these last 2 weeks, it has not been the weapon that it's been in the past. That's how.
Then they never should have made the trade.
What trade?
Then for LaFleur, Jones is a better running back than Jacobs. Never should have made the deal. What's the point of having
Jones
a running
back?
Jones has been
Jacobs has been
–
hey, Homer – I actually am not going to admonish you like I did with your idiotic take. Did you ever ask Jason about that? We'll get to that at the end of the show or end of your segment. But no.
By the way, I
you
want
bring
my
in.
Bet. I claim that
Homer.
Every time I ever talk with you, every time in the future, you will bring that up. Not 90% of the time. Oh, excuse me. Not 9 out of 10.
I'm not going to be 100.
But every
it won't
time
be 100.
I talk with you,
it won't
we'll
be.
See. Right, it's still at 100.
I promise
back
you it won't be 100%.
Okay.
So you want to bring in the best players that are young. You want that, and it's up to you as coaches to figure out how to meld these parts together. It's not
then,
as
then
easy as just
failed.
Saying,
then
oh, he's really good at this.
Right. Then it's all
it
on
is
the
on the floor.
Right.
Look, okay. I totally right. agree. Oh, I okay. agree with that premise.
All right.
All right.
What I was agree. The question that he was supposed to ask me?
He did not ask you, how many offensive linemen in your 28 years you've covered this team have been on the punt cover team?
I don't know the answer to that. I guess I would have to go back into my archives and look. Who are you referencing?
But you at least have to look. I assumed that there were always like two offensive linemen to help prevent the punt from being blocked. Hausch made fun of me and said, you're crazy, and I could be. I didn't dispute the premise because I am proud that I know nothing about the punt groupings. By the way, as an aside, have they decided what the problem was on that punt? Was it the problem of the punter punting the ball in the wrong direction, or that everybody other than the punter on the punt team screwed up? Which is it?
So we are going to talk to your guy, because I know you enjoy him as much as I do, Rich Bisaccia, tomorrow. And
most
ask
overrated,
more.
Overpaid coach in the NFL.
That's what I was setting the stage for you to say. But my understanding as of now is that he called a left punt. He punted a left punt. I have never been on the punt coverage team, but the Bears, with the way they blocked it and with the way DJ Moore pretended that he was getting ready to catch it, the guys running down the field with their hair on fire were duped into thinking that Daniel Whelan had kicked the ball to the right instead. They fell for the banana in the tailpipe. They all ran toward DJ Moore, even though Daniel Whelan told them he was punting it left.
Yeah, that's now, you could fire the special teams coach on that.
Now, let me
unless
finish.
You can count.
Let me finish, because I know you'd love to get in there. Both in the 2011 example, when the Bears pulled this off with Johnny Knox, and on Sunday when they pulled it off successfully without a holding penalty to wipe it out, you can see the punter, Tim Mathay in 2011, and Daniel Whelan on Sunday, they know where the ball went. They are positioning themselves to try and tackle Johnny Knox or whoever the dude was that returned it. And Daniel Whelan gets blocked. Tim Mathay makes one of the greatest efforts to tackle a returner unsuccessfully. I mean, he dives like full out parallel to the ground trying to get him before he gets to the end zone. So they knew where they kicked the ball. But they did. The Bears, in both instances, completely fooled the rest of the 10 guys on the field into thinking it went the opposite direction.
All right. First of all, I know the other one failed because it was offside, right? When they did
holding.
It in 2000 or whatever.
Holding.
All right.
Yep.
Here's the second point, which is the grounds on which I might fire him. Have they ever, as a punt team, addressed what is to be done if the punter doesn't punt the ball where he's expected to, right? So you break the huddle and it's going to be punt left, right? Everybody knows where it's going to be punt, right? Correct?
Correct. Unless sure. he misses it.
They must have something because a punter, as great as they are, at some point probably punts the ball in the wrong place. What is the team and has the team been told if that's the case? Does the punter yell? Something has to be done so that everybody going down the field doesn't go in the wrong place, right? So he's supposed to punt it
so
left.
You're saying like the Peter call that they do when they're telling guys to get away from the ball.
Whatever. I'm saying I'm the special teams coach, and yes, right now they get better. So what do we do on a punt? Well, the punter yells. There has to be a procedure. Whatever that procedure was, after Whelan punted, he didn't do it. And so every player on that team was an idiot. And that, when every player screws up, Tausch will agree, when every player screws up on a play, an offensive play, it's not on the coach. I mean, it's not on the players. It's on the coach. When a few people mess up, when everybody messes up, that's on the coach. They clearly have either a horrific plan, never addressed it, or, you know, every player was stupid. Right? So, I mean, every one of them.
So okay, every player was stupid. We are firing Rich Bisaccia. Is that your position?
Yes, on any situation. Ask Tausch. Tausch, have you ever had an offensive play?
Yes, let's ask Tausch.
Everybody messed up. No, because it's the same way. Have you ever had an offensive play where everybody on the offense messed up except the quarterback?
No.
Or except the player? No. And if it happened, who would everybody on the team blame?
Whoever was, if the center didn't snap the ball and everybody moved, it would be the center.
Whatever.
There's always someone that you could look at and pin the blame on if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. And if everybody ran the one play and it goes the other way, you'd say the coach told us wrong. Should the Packers have a play, and do teams have a play, that when the punter doesn't punt in the right place, all the people know where to go and how to adjust? Otherwise, this would happen all the time unless a punter always punts the ball exactly where it's supposed to go.
You know what would have been good here, Homer? If they would have put six offensive linemen out there, they would have been too slow to get down, and they couldn't have fallen for that because they wouldn't have been down there fast enough to take the banana in the tailpipe.
Excellent. I agree with you, 10. I agree with you, 10 out of 10. Or no, I agree, 9.8 out of 10. I'm sorry. There's
there
a little
music. Close to 10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I assume you have God Talk to record, so we should let you go.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't today.
Oh,
but I do want to know. My theory on the punter, Jason, you've been quiet. What is there something wrong with my analysis of what the procedure should be or must exist?
For someone that hates, hold up a second. For somebody that hates punting as much as you do and thinks it's irrelevant, you just spent 10 minutes talking about punting.
Right, because we have a – I appreciate
why?
Great
– Doesn't matter.
I appreciate
you always say it doesn't matter.
Let me answer.
All right.
I appreciate greatness. And I believe we have, well, I thought LaFleur went to this well, a level of stupidity by the Packer punt team that I must admit and be curious about how you can be that horrible. For example, if the entire team went out there and didn't have a helmet on, while I don't think helmets are that important, I would bring it up because it's so incredibly hard to comprehend. And I don't know that anybody, because there are other issues, has brought up the issue of this punt play. It seems to have gone in the background, and it shouldn't. It should be up front, just like the historically stupid decision of Matt LaFleur, who found a way, when flipping a coin, having heads and tails, and still lose. So, that's my answer to your question. Has the punting thing been...
You know what I'll answer to you?
Yes.
We're on to Philly. That's what I would say. That was a preseason game. We're on to Philly.
All right. Nice. Okay, bye. Thanks.
Yep. That's where we're at.
Okay. I always love his departures almost as much as you and I, or he, you and he, love Prize Picks.
It is the best place to get real money sports action. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. And now you got playoff football, man. You got college, you got pros, you got NBA. You got it all going. And you can win up to 1,000 times your cash right now on the number one daily fantasy sports app. And I just said playoff time, win 1,000 times, and now Prize Picks offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money using your sports opinions. Hey, if you think Lamar Jackson's going to go big, you think Josh Allen, and you think Jordan Love's not going to play well, you don't. Use what your sports opinions are and go get a little cash. Download the app today. Use code WY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play that first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run
your
game. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And the pitch. Hey, struck him out swinging.
100.5 ESPN, your new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Tausch, in an effort to get us back on the clock again, because, you know, we're always playing catch-up after we keep Brian Bulaga for an extended period of time, I am going to defer to you, and out of respect and admiration, on a scale of 1 to 10...
Admiration, okay.
Yeah, I have both of those for you. I mean, you drive me blank and nuts once in a while, too, but it's a balance. So, okay. Out of respect for you,
yeah,
I will alter my spectrum to a scale of 1 to 10. But
wow.
Here's the question
do
I
that.
Want you Here's the question that I want you to ponder, and then we'll address to start the 11 o'clock hour.
Sam Ponder.
Christian Ponder. Christian Watson. Tom Watson, Tom Oates. If in the next 3 days, obviously they'll be at Lambeau today, tomorrow, and Friday, and then they'll depart Saturday for Philadelphia. You are, on your positivity scale of 1 to 10, you are a 5. What can I glean from my time with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and everybody else today, tomorrow, and Friday that will elevate your score? I want you to think about that. Tell me what that answer is to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, and tell me now what you got going on with American Family Insurance.
All right. It is the season of giving, Badger fans, and this year you can double your impact for the thousands of children that receive top-notch care at the American Family Children's Hospital. And Sarah and I, we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds for the American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. We only have, what is today, the 8th? We have until the 17th to get to our goal. All proceeds go towards therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients. And American Family Insurance is matching donations up to $50,000. We are close. We are very close. So if you have it in you, visit amfam4kids.org. That 4 is a number 4, not spelled out. So it's amfam4kids.org to donate today.
Maybe this will change it in the other direction, but I think you and I were both anticipating this. Tim McManus of ESPN.com. Jalen Hurts is practicing today per Nick Sirianni. Not a surprise.
Yeah, no blank.
But, well, there were some Packers fans that were getting their hopes up a little bit that it was going to be Kenny Pickett instead. Probably not going to be
Kenny
the
Pickett
case.
It's 8 out of 10.
Or 80.
And my 43 goes up as well. All right, what other than Kenny Pickett playing instead of Jalen Hurts can raise Tausch's 5 higher about the Packers' positivity scale of them beating the Eagles? We'll find out what else could be on the list to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. That happens in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.